You are tuned to The Roundup on CBC Radio 1. I'm Kevin Sylvester, and it's January the 12th, 2004. That's a Monday. Time for Monday Playbill. And today you're going to hear the first episode in a comic series about a teenage detective whose name is Elliot Graves. Now, it's written by David Ferber, who is a young writer who's based in Winnipeg. And here's where the story begins. It's the first day of school. Elliot Graves is being ignored by the very girl who spent the last 2 years chasing him. He's curious about the cause of her sudden change of heart, so he sets out to find Katie's new boyfriend. And what he discovers turns out to be more than just a simple Romeo and Juliet story. Here's episode one of Elliot Graves.
You ever see those ads with the 17-ish looking kid leaning against a wall or something, smoking a cigarette, not really conscious of just how disgusting it is, thinking he's cool? That's me. The thing you gotta remember is high school kids and adults live in different worlds, if you get me. And the world of high school has its own social structure, its own laws, its own crimes, its own rules, which have nothing to do with the school board. And you remember the kid who sat on the back step smoking his cigarette and looking cool, but not as cool as he thinks he is? He failed grade 12 last year, so he may not know everyone in the school, but everyone knows him. You say hi to him as you go inside and don't think about him for the rest of the day, because he's not your friend. His friends aren't anyone else's friends. You've heard a bunch of rumors about him, but you have no idea where he lives. You don't know his middle name or favorite color, but you know him. That kid was me. I'm Elliot Graves, social deviant and victim of misplaced potential. You and I, we live on the same planet. Welcome to my world.
Elliot Graves, what are you doing back here, dude?
Trying desperately to get out.
Oh, right, you failed last year. Tell you what, let's escape together. Rock a little ganja.
Not in the mood, Alan.
Come on, man. Why do you think I'm in a good mood all the time?
Because you don't know any better.
What's that supposed to mean, dude?
Alan James. Smart kid when you put him in front of a computer. He failed last year, too. Keeps himself perma-fried and deals on the side, but you can't really blame him for it.
Hey, Flacker.
Hey, Goth.
Did you not promise we'd share a slice of cherry cheesecake?
I've been busy. We'll do it tomorrow, I swear. You going to English?
I gotta get my books. You wait for me?
Oh, man.
What? Was Alan after the mythical videotape again?
One, I have the tape. It's no myth. Two, it's Katie.
I'm sure it just drives you crazy to have a beautiful girl in love with you.
Aren't there any senior guys to obsess over?
I thought you were a senior.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to leave you behind.
Didn't she ask you to the prom?
Oh, can you hold on? I just have to
pass. Oh, man, here she comes. Hide me.
Hey, Katie. How was your summer?
Oh, hi, Sasha. Pretty good. You?
Oh, still wearing black.
I noticed. Look, Billy asked me to give this to you.
Billy? Who's Billy?
Billy Pomeroy's just a friend.
I'll see you around, Sasha.
She couldn't keep her hands off of you.
What the hell was that?
Why can't she just leave you alone?
She didn't even look at me.
The poor dear. You really should just let her down gently.
I don't believe that.
We've got a classroom.
Yeah. Wait. Hey, who's Billy Palmer?
Come on.
Can someone explain this to me? Katie was all over me for 2 years, and then she doesn't give me a second glance first day of school? Shakespeare said it best. Who is it can read a woman? I'd like to think that I'm secure enough not to let something like this faze me, but there's a time for idealism and a time for being realistic. So I'm sitting out on the back step, smoking a cigarette and thinking, what is up with Katie? She called me at least 8 times over the summer. That averages out to once a week. Of course, all those calls were in July, tapered off towards the end of the season. Look, I know this is high school. Feelings come and go like boy bands. But Katie was head over heels for me the second I showed up here. Sure, it drove me crazy, but at least she fluffed my ego.
Hey.
Hey, Sasha.
Can I bum one?
Always.
Thanks. You got fire? Thanks. What's up?
Nothing.
You know, you take yourself way too seriously. I mean, who cares she didn't say hi?
Well, it's nice to know women's emotions are so flippant, that's all.
As if you ever would have dated her.
I might have dated her.
You never would have touched her so long as she was throwing herself at you.
She is a hottie.
So am I.
What's your point?
You think I'm a hottie?
Stay on topic.
Elliot, all you have here is a case of you want what you can't have.
Listen, Sasha, it's not as if I have a string of girls lining up to date me.
Oh, shut up, Elliot. Terry Gilmore is in love with you.
She's a stoner.
Lisa Fletcher.
I have no time for women with no self-esteem.
Okay, Dana Overwater. Straight A's, athletic, stylish, funny.
Listens to country music.
Ugh, you're pathetic.
I have binding standards.
Okay, well, who would you date?
I don't know. Someone like you.
What?
Or someone like Katie. Where are you going?
Look, some of us have grades to keep up. You better figure out what you want before you break another heart.
Now, what was that about? I don't really understand Sasha either. She's my best friend, yeah, but sharp as the devil himself. Straight A's, this girl. The thing is, she's got the potential to be the leader of her grade. She spends all her time hanging out with me and wearing goth gear. Black clothes, black lipstick. She's a popular outsider. I love it.
Mr. Graves, good morning.
Mr. Corgan is the vice principal. School rules state.
School rules state, no smoking on school property.
If I had a car in the parking lot, could I smoke in that?
No.
Then why are you allowed to smoke in your van?
Lunchtime detention. See you in the office, 11:50.
Out of curiosity, what would you give me if I called you a balding hypocrite, Richard?
I'll be seeing you after school as well.
It was worth it. Sasha had cooled down enough by lunch hour to come by and visit me. Even brought me a chicken burger from the calf. She's a cool woman. The hour crawled by. The only point of interest came when, of all people, Katie strolls in. Totally ignores me again. Walks up to the desk, talks to the secretary. She asks to talk to a teacher, but apparently has gone home sick. And she leaves. Oh my. She dropped something. I knew I should grab it for her.
What have we here? A letter. Katie, my love, I realize more and more that I never understood the nature of love until I met you.
What?
No more dinners, no more movies, not until you graduate.
Oh. I suppose I should be happy for her, but something tugged at me. There was a tone to the note, something I can only describe as suspiciously overzealous. Well, someone had to look out for Katie, right? Katie! Hey, hold up. Oh, man, I gotta quit smoking.
What do you want, Elliot?
Oh, I just, I was in the office on lunch doing some photocopying.
Detention for smoking.
That too. And I noticed you dropped this.
Did you read it?
What? No, that's your personal stuff there.
You did!
Well, yeah.
Oh, God.
So why no dinners until after grad?
That's none of your business.
So what's the deal with this guy anyway?
Stay out of my life, Elliot!
Sounds like a psycho. Okay, ouch.
Did you show it to anyone?
No.
Are you lying?
No.
If you breathe the word to anyone...
Do you want to explain this to me?
Anyone!
Oh, okay, yeah, I got it.
You leave me alone, Elliot.
I suddenly wished I'd made a photocopy of that letter. I hung back a good block and a half. Katie walked all the way to her house, no stops. This girl had completely given up on me for some paranoid Don Juan with a penchant for prose. I couldn't believe it. And of course, I couldn't let this go. First thing I did when I got home was... Well, actually, I watched TV for about 5 hours, but right after that, I called Sasha.
Hello?
Hey, sexy.
Elliot, it's 11 o'clock.
The love of friendship obeys no time zones.
Charming. How is detention?
Sandwich helped.
Well, I'm your girl.
Yes, you are. So, you want to get together for cheesecake tomorrow?
I'll believe it when I see it. So, what's up?
Katie found herself a boyfriend.
Ah, go to sleep, Elliot.
Huh.
What?
Did you hang up by accident or because you're sick of hearing about Katie?
Take a guess.
What's your problem with her?
Elliot! She was obsessed with you for 2 years. I think not finding someone else would be unhealthy. This is so sad. Frankly, I'm I'm rethinking cheesecake.
Whoa, let's not say things we can't take back.
So she found another guy. So what?
Well, this has got to be some life-altering event happening here. You don't just stop having a crush on someone. If you like someone, no matter how dumb or impossible it is, it never goes away. Reason and love keep a little company together.
That's for sure.
Pardon?
So, who's her main man?
Well, I have no idea, but I'm not about to let this go.
That's always your problem, Elliot. You're obsessive. You get an idea in your head and you can't give it up until you run over the cliff with it.
Rethink your analogies before labeling me, thank you.
Does it really matter?
Well, what else am I going to put my energy into? School? Obsessive. Bah. Dedicated. But certainly not overly so. It's not like I was planting cameras. I just broke into her locker. Katie's locker was 112, and her combination was 36-45-15. Shh. When you plan on doing nothing the rest of your life, you pick up a few skills to oil the gears of laziness. I would like to say for the record that I am, in fact, a horrible person. But, in my defense, I was a little freaked out by how paranoid Katie was about the relationship. Something wasn't quite cricket. No way.
I love you, but teaching is my life. And if the if the division found out about us...
This better not be about Katie.
If the division found out about us, the school division, she's banging a teacher.
No. Seriously, sometimes there are moments where you don't seem crazy. This isn't one of them.
Read it.
No way. No way. No way.
Told ya.
We're taking this to Mr. Corrigan.
What are we supposed to say? Pardon me, Mr. Corrigan, but I'm pretty sure Katie Price is banging a teacher. I'm not sure which one, but I'm pretty sure she is.
You gotta smoke?
Yeah.
Fire. Okay. Okay. Okay, all we've got now is some weak proof. I highlight weak. To get real proof, first we need to narrow down suspects and then follow up on anyone who has opportunity so we can find some real hard evidence.
Ooh, involved, are we?
Do you understand what this is, Elliot?
Canadian Beauty, the Katie Price story?
This is not a joke.
Well, it's kind of funny.
Elliot, you're my best friend, and yes, I am involved. And if you don't help me find this guy and stop him, I will never let you see me in pajamas again. Are we clear?
Down to business. If I was an early to middle-aged teacher and I had a 17-year-old student, I'd be using my preps to take her home. Now, Katie didn't have any spares, and her lunch hour was used for student council work, which meant she'd have to skip to coordinate with one of his preps. Step one, find out when Katie skipped. You could only find that out in the division computer, and the man to see about computers was Alan. Explaining as little as possible, Alan's got a mouth like a runaway train, I asked him to hack the division computer and find out when Katie had been absent the past few days. Well, he jumped at the challenge.
Not in a million years.
Alan, I'll do anything.
Cool. Set me up with Sasha.
Sasha?
Oh, God, she's a hottie.
We're talking about the same Sasha? Goth chick Sasha Smith? You got a crush on Sasha?
Every time she walks up to me, man, I get the Doors playing in my head. It's all like, hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello,
Alan.
I love you.
Alan. I can't really tell Sasha what to do, so how about I just buy you a few packs of smokes?
Payment on delivery. You give me Sasha, I'll give you Katie.
Oh, Alan.
That's my price, man. I can get expelled for this.
Okay. But I want to know everything. So, to recap, in my pursuit to bring a perverted teacher to justice, I agreed to become my best friend's pimp. Don't think that the irony escaped me. It was time to pay Sasha a visit.
I had no idea Bath takes this long.
Elliot, you unwittingly imply I'm bad company.
Oh, no, I just... Sorry, Mrs. Smith, I just really need to talk to
her. We're friends, Elliot. Please, call me Wendy. Oh, would you care for a cigarette?
As a matter of fact, I would.
Good.
Sasha's mother is a first-class hippie, living in complete denial that the 60s are long gone and not coming back. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool woman, though. She got me stoned my first time.
Thank you, dear.
She smokes these 100-millimeter menthols.
I can't visit their house without resisting a taste of eccentricity. She, of course, insists on me lighting her cigarettes. A lady never lights her own.
You're a year older than Sasha, correct?
Correct.
Statistically speaking, couples of younger women and older men fare better, particularly at your age.
Wendy, you unwittingly imply that I'm immature.
Oh, you are a charmer. Were I 20 years younger, I'd take a crack at you myself.
Well, why let age stand in the way of something that's obviously beyond our control?
Elliot.
I'm just saying, is all.
Are you finished?
Oh, hey, don't sneak up on me when I'm hitting on your mother.
Would you two like to be left alone?
Suddenly, the perfume of vanilla shampoo and bath oils hits me. I finally look up at Sasha.
Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello.
I had never been so aware of the fact that Sasha and I were alone in her room. She was all wet and stuff. All I had to do was bring up taking her out for cheesecake first, and I'd be Mr. Sweetie.
So, I was flipping through my journal the other day, and I realized that 7 months ago next Friday was the first time you told me you were going to take me out for cheesecake.
Nuts.
You never did.
I meant to.
I know. You're sweet like that.
She kissed me on the cheek. Whoa.
Look,
there's something I gotta talk to you about.
Week, right? Sorry, you go first.
No, go ahead.
Not you first.
No, I'm serious.
Why?
Because my thing isn't good.
How not good?
Like, morally wrong, not good. You go first.
What did you do?
It's in the name of the greater good.
What did you do?
In return for hacking the division computer, I told Alan I'd set him up on a date with you.
Huh. How do I look at that?
In an opportunity to bring down a perverted teacher way?
What if I choose to look at it in a why does Elliot feel he can offer me to his friends and trade like some prostitute way?
We won't be having cheesecake tonight, will we?
No.
And I don't suppose you'd tell me what you were going to say.
Go home, Elliot.
I'm nuts. Alan?
Yes?
Tell me you have it.
I do.
Well, give it.
Oh, ho. I think not, Mr. Graves.
Uh-huh.
But you see, Miss Smith came round to see me just before you, informing me with very little guard for my frail emotions just what kind of chance I have with her. Can you imagine my odds? I can, therefore, only come to the conclusion that our little deal is void.
Why are you talking like Ferrari from Casablanca?
It's no matter. I have the information, and you do not. I bid you good day.
Alan, I'll give you the video.
The video? Like the video?
The video. Not a copy. My original.
Is it everything they say it is?
Oh, and more. I'll thank you not to ask what exactly the video contains. My methods are not on trial here. I get results, and they were clear as day. If Alan's information is accurate, and it usually is, only one teacher had preps on the rare occasions Katie'd skipped. Mr. Steffler, band teacher. Cool. I'd never really liked him. I've watched my share of Da Vinci's Inquest, and I knew when it was time for a stakeout. I also knew it wasn't something you did alone. Luckily, Sasha had cooled off enough to offer her company.
So when are we going to get that cheesecake?
I thought we said tomorrow.
You got a smoke?
You're a chimney these days.
No one likes a quitter.
That's my girl.
Hello, Mr. Steffler.
What? Where?
He's pulling out of the driveway. Why do all teachers drive SUVs?
Let's go.
Go? Go where?
Into the house.
You're going to break into his house?
Well, gosh, I figure if I ask nice, the cat might let me in.
You're leading a life of crime. You do know this.
All for the greater good. Are you in?
If you ever doubt our friendship again...
I love you, sweetie. Bring the camera. Getting inside was a piece of cake. I'd seen enough movies to know exactly what to do.
Holy God!
Why did you do that?
'Cause it's locked.
Hello?
Under the doormat. Right. Idiot. Once inside, my first concern was raiding his refrigerator to get some ice for my elbow. We didn't want to turn on any lights and alert the neighbors, so I negotiated the house in pitch darkness. Like a ninja stealth assassin, I maneuvered my way through his living room with the effortless grace of a jungle cat.
Ow! Damn it! How the... Man, who puts a coffee table right in the middle of a room?
Let me get the lights.
Thank you. Okay.
It was a fast search. Nothing important on the main floor. We went upstairs into his bedroom and rifled through his unmentionables.
Oh, ew.
The question is Katie a thong person or is Mr. Steffler?
Put it away.
Hello.
What?
A bill for a hotel and a box of condoms.
Why buy a box of condoms if you're not going to open them?
Well, do you hear something?
Is that the garage door?
Oh, it never ends. Out the front.
Oh, someone on the street could see us.
In the closet.
We squished into Steffler's closet right before we heard a door opening downstairs. Someone was talking. Couldn't hear what they were saying.
God, who is it?
It's Mr. Steffler, and I think Katie's with him.
No one will bother us here.
Where's the camera? Oh, I got it.
Oh, God, they're coming up here.
Quiet!
Why are they here if they usually go to a hotel? There was that receipt.
They forgot their condoms, remember?
Come on in.
Are you sure this is all right? Aw, this sucks.
Quiet.
I don't know about this.
Hey, no one saw you get out of my car. Yours is at the hotel. It's all right.
Still.
No. Wouldn't you like to, wake up in my bed?
Ew. Don't think I waited until they were completely naked just because I've always wanted to see Katie that way. Frankly, Mr. Steffler's thong was enough to keep my hormones at bay. But soon enough, they were at their business, and I to mine.
Do you hear something?
Run!
A lot happens, but it happens too quick. I'm in pain, in cuffs. Sasha got out. I'm screwed. This guy, Detective Chin, jerks me around for about an hour before he's called out of the room, and I'm left in there on my own for, like, another 20 minutes. He walks up to me and sets a very familiar-looking film container down on the table.
You know somebody named Sasha Smith, Elliot?
I do.
She's a pretty good friend of yours. Weird with a makeup, though.
Yeah, she's a cool kind of woman.
So why don't you tell me a story, Elliot? If it's the same story as your friend, I think we may have gotten off on the wrong foot.
Is that recorder on?
It is now.
It's a long story.
You want a cup of coffee?
I could do with a cigarette.
I told Detective Chin the whole story. It was all over before the weekend. Steffler was removed from the school and handcuffed the next day as soon as the pictures were developed. Apparently, he'd done the same thing twice before in Saskatchewan. For some reason, the whole fiasco had a narcotic effect on me. Instead of feeling relief that Steffler was gone and proud of myself and grateful for Sasha, all I felt was a sickly sweet indifference to everything. Numb. It was awful. I kept myself shut up in my room, writing in my journal. I didn't want to go out. Didn't want to see the newspapers, didn't want to risk bumping into Katie. She was heartbroken. And I admit it, I felt sorry for her. Everyone at school knew, even though Chin was good enough to have our names kept out of the papers. Come that Friday night, I'd cooled off a lot, and school was the furthest thing from my mind.
Hold on, you're early.
Funny, I thought it would be a surprise.
Elliot...
Wow, you, look amazing.
What are you doing here?
I just I was hoping I could take a friend out for cheesecake.
Oh. Oh, God, Elliot, I mean, thanks for getting dressed up, but, well, I've got a date with Billy Palmer.
Nuts.
That's episode one of the Elliot Graves series, written by David Ferber. In the cast, Jacob Turney was Elliot Graves, Kristen Fairley was Sasha, Peter Costigan was Alan, Jeffrey Bowes played both Mr. Corgan and Mr. Steffler, Laura Vandervoot played Katie, Ho Chow played Detective Chin, and Wendy was played by Shannon Lawson. Now, behind the scenes, the script consultant was Dave Carley, casting director was Julia Tate, the recording engineer was Wayne Richards, sound effects were by Matt Wilcott. Sandra Brightman was the associate producer, the Toronto producer was Linda Grierson, and it was directed and produced by Tom Anico. Now, you can order today's drama on CD, and it's only $21. You can get it by phoning 416-205-5966, 416-205-5966. That's a Toronto number, and you can phone that for the details. Now, next Monday, we'll bring you episode two of Elliot Graves, but make a note. It's going to be at a different time. Monday Playbill will be moving to a 2:30 start time, although 3 o'clock, of course, if you're in the Newfoundland time zone. So 2:30, or if you're in the Newfoundland time zone, then 3 o'clock, which is 1 hour earlier than you're used to hearing it. And I'm sure after today, you would not want to miss part two. Now, there will also be some other changes to our schedule of drama and book reading segments in the roundup. It's all getting underway next week, these changes. And as this week unfolds, well, we'll give you some more details about them. In the meantime, one thing never changes here on the Roundup. If you want to reach us, you just give us a call at 1-888-SAD-GOAT at any time, day or night, toll free. You can also email us at roundup@vancouver.cbc.ca. And actually, what we'd like you to tell us about by phoning or emailing is, Well, let's go back to Elliot Graves there for a second. He talked at length about those unwritten rules in his school, the things you did not do. And I'm not talking here about what the administration said, but what, like, you know, Jimmy and Janie in Class 7 said. For example, in my high school, the lockers closest to the exits, those are for the grade 12s. Hey, grade 9 boy, down by wood shop. So what were some of the unwritten rules in your high school? Let us know. 1-888-SAD-GOAT. Roundup@vancouver.cbc.ca. I'm Kevin Sylvester, sitting in for Bill Richardson here on the Roundup. Everybody, have a fantastic Monday.